Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
Tell me about where you're from and who your parents are and what kind of background you have.
Well, I had a Catholic father and a Baptist mother. I was baptized by both churches. My mother then went into Unity and Science of Mind. And at the age of 7, I was caught doing something that I shouldn't have been doing, which principally was hopping a truck, sneaking a little ride. And when I came home, my mother said that she was going to give me a spanking and asked me whether I wanted the rubber hose or the cottonwood switches or the elderberry switches. And I chose cottonwood because they break so easy. But I told her, I said, Mother, I said, it won't do any good to whip me because there's no sensation in matter, which is Science of Mind principle. So she gave me a very good spanking, and I didn't cry, and she took me out of Christian Science School. So that kind of has been part of what has led me through to study of comparative religions and Zen Buddhism and everything. And I like my life just the way it is, and I'm happy with it. And with a lot of good luck, which I don't believe in, I think you make whatever you get, or you break whatever you get. My father died here in California. My mother died here in California of cancer. And I got into motion pictures. When I got out of the Marine Corps, where I was Tech Sergeant Friday Pilot, flew off the USS Guadalcanal. I came into motion pictures in 1945. And
I thought it was far earlier than that.
I was such a bad actor that, I was too inhibited, too self-conscious. So I became a stuntman, which I had a tremendous background for. And I had a state championship in diving and a national record in swimming, and I'd done flying trapeze, the University of Iowa, slack wire, tight wire, trampoline, flying rings, long horse, side horse, all the mat work, parallel bars, mm-hmm. horizontal bars. So for me to be a stuntman, that was right up my alley.
Yes.
So I became a stuntman, and I ended up doubling Charlie Starrett, Errol Flynn, Greg Peck, Randolph Scott, Sonny Tufts.
Tell me about an Errol Flynn. I mean, he did so many fantastic jumps and things. Most people, I would think that he did most of them.
He did. He was an excellent fencer, and he did an awful lot of his own work. Of course, they couldn't allow him to do certain things because their insurance policy just wouldn't cover it. Mm-hmm. He was one hell of a beautiful man, and I used to go see him in pictures I had doubled him in and get just as big a thrill as if he had done the whole thing himself. He was a lovely, lovely, wonderful person.
Do you remember a particular stunt that, like you did, that his insurance company wouldn't cover?
Yes, on Don Juan. The dive down the stairs, which you will see on November 22nd on NBC. I did a piece of a show called Super Stunt 2. Mm-hmm. And I was very lucky. In my segment of the show, Burt Reynolds comes on and talks about Jock Mahoney. My daughter Sally Fields comes on and talks about Jock Mahoney. And I have another daughter, Princess, that's just getting into the business now. She's a very tall, statuesque lady. She's about 25 years old, 5 feet 11. Absolutely a beautiful person. She talks about her dad. And what do you want to know?
run back that Sally Fields for a minute.
What about Sally Field?
You mentioned she's your daughter?
Yeah, my stepdaughter.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So who was her mother?
Margaret Field.
Was she an actress?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, Sally did a show where she played a whole bunch of people that was in one body, and it was called Sybil. And until she had done Sybil, she had never touched her mother's acting ability. Her mother was a beautiful actress.
Yeah, the Flying Nun was rather a hollow role.
No, it was a Gidget, Flying Nun, the girl with something extra, were all excellent springboards for anybody to learn their craft. And Sally did it. And it shows. You know, now oh, sure. Very close. So what do you want to know? Okay, ask me questions.
So tell me, we're right at the beginning of your career now. What was your, you said you started off with stunt roles, stuntmen?
I actually started off, a director came to me named Derwin Abrams, and he was doing two Charlie Sterrett pictures. And he said, I'll give you two small roles, just playing dog ass heavies. Which is a member of the gang. Every early Western had a gang, right? So he said, if you will teach a New York actor how to ride a horse, I'll give you these two roles. So I taught the man how to ride, and told the man that I would teach him to ride, and you can't literally teach someone to ride in a week's time. You can teach them to look good on a horse, like they know what they're doing, and that was all that was necessary, so they look good for camera. So I did get the two parts, and I did them, and I was so inhibited and self-conscious that nobody would hire me anymore, for good reason. But I had done my own riding and fights and falls and getting shot off the running horses and everything, so they hired me to double Charlie Sterrett in the Drango Kid series of films, which we made 8 a year. And I loved it. That was great. I didn't have to act, and I could turn my back to camera all the time. And it was delicious, so that's how I got started as a stuntman.
Tell me, how did things lead to Range Rider?
Well, I got better and bigger and better parts at the same time as doubling Errol Flynn, Greg Peck, Sonny Tuff, Charlie Sterrett, Willard Parker. I kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger roles. So finally, I went to Australia and did a lead in a flick in a Western. And then I came back, and I'd been working with Autry doing heavies. And he had found Dick West, who was my sidekick in the Range Rider show, and he put us together. There was no auditions, no anything. He knew us both.
Did you know each other prior to that?
No. Uh-uh. Dickie and I had never met.
What was your first impression of him when you met him?
That he was one hell of a man, because he was only a week and a half out of the hospital for an appendectomy operation. And he never bitched, he never complained. He did everything that was required of him. And we did, both of us did all of our own work in the Range Rider show. And when the Range Rider show first started, I got Dickie aside and I said, I want you to go along with me on something. I want to dedicate each one of these Range Rider shows that we do to helping at least one person. Now, if we can help more to solve a problem, to give them a smile, to take a little heat off, to whatever, then we're successful. And I said,
so
I'd like
just pointless.
I'd like to dedicate all of the shows. Mm-hmm. to just one person. Now, if we do more, that's gravy. And he says, yeah, I'll go along with that, Jocko. And we were partners ever since.
Can you give me an example of some of those?
What do you mean?
Give me an example of some of the good points in each show as you're describing.
Oh, we just had to go whatever the script called for, but it was the underlying theme of the feeling of the, from that context, mm-hmm. that there is that black idiot black box called a camera has the facility of getting inside of a human being, I think, and that's where it's all going on anyhow, behind the eyes.
But you had realized your show was somewhat geared to children, right? Even at the time?
Oh, certainly. My God, when you can, as an individual, it isn't going to do anything. You can fill the Liberty Bell Stadium with people just to see you. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing an act or anything. You're just saying hello.
Yes, yes.
In Philadelphia, why, you know damn good and well that you're drawing people.
Yeah, if Range Rider was, let's say, a friend of yours and you were going to describe him as a character to me, how would you describe the character?
Oh, an easygoing moccasin wearing man that you wouldn't tangle with.
Why?
Because Range Rider was probably one of the best athletes that ever came down the pike.
What was the name of your horse?
Buck.
Did you have that horse all the way throughout the
No,
series,
we used 13 different horses. I had my own personal horses. So
the name, did the name change with each different horse?
Or oh no, it was supposed to be one horse.
I see.
But we used 13 different horses because that's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
With
they all
horses.
Looked similar.
They all looked alike.
What was
yeah.
the horse like?
The 13 different horses?
Yeah, I mean,
it was a big buckskin. And Dickie rode a pint, a paint, or a pinto.
And what was Dick West's, what was his role?
His role was my sidekick. And he played a youngster that fell in love with every girl, and anytime he got romantic, well, I'd step in and put him on his horse, and we'd ride off into sunset together.
And what was the name of his character?
His name was Dick West, but his real name was Dick Jones.
I see. So the two of you would just ride from what, city to city, perhaps, or
well, we were do-gooders. Uh-huh. We didn't go from any place, and we would be called to come into a city to help out, or if we heard.
I'm just trying to
that somebody was having problems.
What did you do for a living? You know, what was your occupation?
We didn't do anything for a living.
You just did a service to people.
Constantly, yeah. We were independently wealthy because every time we'd get a reward for whatever we did, we'd give it back to the government.
I see.
And that is where Jock Mahoney and Range Rider differ.
Mm-hmm.
Question.
All right, so you made a lot of personal appearances right away. Did you feel finally that you had hit the success point of your career? Or did you...
Yeah, we took over $100,000 out of Boston in 12 days. That isn't bad.
No.
1951. We broke most... We broke every record for rodeos and everything else.
When you made an appearance at a rodeo, you could do more than just dip your hat. You would do a few stunts.
Oh, we did fights and falls, get shot off to running horses. We had the roughest act in show business. Matter of fact, the cowboys that were in the rodeos said that they wouldn't do our act for all the tea in China.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a bad injury through your career?
I had my chest crushed a couple times, my nose broken four times, my left elbow broken, my left shoulder broken, quarts of blood, pounds of skin, little things like that. But if you consider that I've done all of my own stunts for 33 years, plus all the rodeos that I've done, and all the motion pictures, over 200 television shows, over 61 motion pictures, and all the rodeos and everything, in 33 years, the odds are greatly in my favor.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good average.
Yeah.
Now you carried on with the Range Rider show for, 6 years, you said?
No.
No?
We only did 79 half-hour shows, and we did them over a period of 3 years.
I see, 3 years. Yeah.
50, 51, 52, around in there.
And when the end of the show came, did you feel it coming, or?
No, as a matter of fact, CBS was in cahoots with Autry on the production of the Range Rider shows. And we were in such early television that we made 79 half-hour shows. And CBS says, well, what are we going to do with more? Mm-hmm. 79 half-hour shows. There's no sense in making any more. So they just quit making them. And they were sold all over the United States in syndication. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a national sponsor. But that was early television. If they had known today what they should have known at that time, why, we would probably gone on and made up to 400, 500, 600 shows. Mm-hmm. Because they were selling everywhere, and they were good, clean shows. We didn't hang on blood. We didn't hang on any kind of brutality. It was a good, clean show that children could watch. And it was a good moral show.
How do you feel about what people say about all the violence on TV, you know, with all of the...
Well, when you're doing violence for violence's sake or sex for sex's sake, you turn me off, because what's new sexually and what's new in the violent pattern? There isn't anything new. And why go to all the extremes of showing a guy half crushed or we'd do good clean fights, mm-hmm. because the guy earned it and deserved it.
Yeah.
And usually, the only blood that would flow on our sets would be our own natural blood running from a miss, which was a hit, in some area, or we got creamed somehow. They were good, simple, clean shows that I have been complimented and feted all over the United States for the Range Rider shows and the Yancey Derringer shows, as a matter of fact. They were beautiful.
Now, Yancey Derringer, wasn't that a little bit more of a...
He was a little more grandiose. Yes, he was a gambler. He was... He wasn't above stepping outside of the law when it was necessary to do what was right for somebody.
But
he didn't put himself above the law.
That would be
but he would step
out.
Less
of a children's program, perhaps, because of the violence and such.
No.
No.
The Yancey was a gambler. He owned a riverboat. He had a big plantation. He was in love with Madame Francine, who had a bar in town. And he spent a lot of time in jail. But
but always wore nice threads. There was that.
He was always beautifully taken care of in jail because he had silver service and everything. No, Yancey was a beautiful character to portray. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That show didn't last too many years.
No, because CBS wanted 25% of us, we wouldn't give it to them. So we lost our time slot.
Just like that.
Yep. And we already had a... We threw a $10,000 party at the end of the season, the first season. And we had Johnson's Wax, who is a beautiful sponsor. And they sent us a telegram saying, here's an order for 34 more shows, which is just as good as a contract. Mm-hmm. And I went away with my ex-wife to Honolulu for a month and came back, and I called Richard Sale and I said, let's get it cracking on the stories. And because we were always behind story-wise the first year, and he says, we're not doing any more Yancey Derringers. And I said, you're crazy. Johnson's Wax ordered 34 more. He said, we don't have a time slot. And that was just a power play by CBS. Mm-hmm. And, well, those things happen.
What did you do? Was that a good mistake for you? I mean, did that cause you to go into another movie or something even better at that point?
No, I went into Tarzan after that.
Well, that's kind of a good move, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it was a good move.
Quite
yeah.
Successful. Those
very
two Tarzan.
Matter of fact, the first Tarzan I made, Tarzan Goes to India, made more money than any Tarzan flick ever filmed before.
Really?
It pulled MGM out of a big hole because. MGM had just made that Captain Bly picture and Mutiny on a Bounty, and that laid a big turkey. So
you had known the character Tarzan for years. What was it like to finally be Tarzan? I mean, every little
boy wants to play Tarzan. And I've been a little boy all my life, and when I grow up, boy, I'll figure out what I'm going to do.
Did you try it out for that, or did someone come to you and say?
No, my wife tried out for Jane, and I tried out for Tarzan when Lex Barker became Tarzan. And that was an excellent choice. Lex was a friend of mine, a beautiful person. And we sat at $100 a plate dinner with the producer, the old producer of the Tarzan shows. And my wife and I each braced him and said, hey, I was turned down by you as Tarzan. And she says, well, I was turned down by you as to play Jane. And he says, forgive me. He was beautiful. No, I prepared very hard for Tarzan. Physically, I went up to 220 pounds. I had a 50-inch chest and a 31-inch waist, 32-inch waist, and I worked out very hard. I read all of the Tarzan books. I was ready to go.
Prior to going to India, did you practice jumps here in Hollywood?
Oh, no.
With the swing?
I worked on ropes and rope climbing and swinging on ropes, and I worked on trampoline and worked the diving board, and then when I got to India, well, I rode elephants and was very happy.
When you made a jump off of a vine, was it a real vine?
No, it was a very big rope, but that thick, about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half thick, and then you break it against the grain and you stick leaves in, and it looks like a vine. Ron Ely used real vines, but I wouldn't trust him.
Yeah, I would think so.
No way.
Do you remember the longest jump you ever made? I mean, was it a strange feeling at first? Because you were out there in a real jungle. Or India, you say.
Well,
the, in India.
Jesus, yeah. Yes, of course. They have tigers. We used to see tigers every night on the way home. They were out for a night's prowl to get something to eat. Monkeys, rhesus monkeys all over the place. Hundreds of thousands and thousands of monkeys. They're all over the roads. There's people starving to death.
So the next one was in
Thailand.
In Thailand.
Yeah.
And that was the next year, you say?
Yes.
It was like a follow-up to the first one.
Entirely different story.
I see.
And
but still is the same Tarzan role.
Same Tarzan role. No Jane, no monkey. I was very lucky. So, but that's away from Range Rider.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted to touch upon that because I really find that interesting that you had done. Were you known? Did you do tours as Tarzan?
I did a 50-city tour and a 60-city tour, punching the picture.
See, because that I'm sure were kids showing up for that as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I've been a.
So you've made tours for kids.
I've been a kid star.
Yeah, a hero.
Yeah. Right, and they went through that anti-hero era, which never bugged me. It never touched me at all, mm-hmm. because my kid fans that. That growing up with me over 33 years, I've always been the hero.
Yeah. Now tell me,
it's like the little girl in the bank just today.
You were the bad
said,
guy.
Boy, I was in love with you for years. You know?
You mentioned that you did some with Ron Ely as the guy who came into the jungle and.
Well, I was the bad guy.
Messed things up. Can
it
you
was
mention
a heavy.
That? Because I don't have that on tape.
Well, I did. I went to Rio de Janeiro in South America and did the first one with Ron. And then I went to Mexico and I did five more with Ron, playing the bad guys, the heavies. Ron is a beautiful man. I have nothing but admiration for him. Ron's 6'6", weighs 225, 230 pounds, in beautiful condition. He does all of his own stunts. And the two of us used to run together at each other and
tell me about Dick West now. What has happened to him?
He got into real estate and made a bundle in the San Fernando Valley working for Paul White Carnahan, and all Dickie does is bank appraisals today.
Mm-hmm. You still see him?
Oh, I see him very, very seldom, but we get together every now and then, have lunch or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think Ron Ely has passed on, hasn't he?
No. I just saw Ron. We have a tennis tournament every year down at the Winter Circle Lodge, and Ron was down for that.
Hmm.
We have the Bacharach Shoemaker tennis tournament, and Ron came down for that. I got a lot of buddies up there.
Now, mention quickly to me some of the other, you know, roles that you've done on television and
oh,
movies.
Good Lord.
Just a fat paragraph.
Everything is escaping me. I did Yancey Derringer, Tarzan, Range Rider, Laramie, which was a Bobby Fuller show, who was a big fan of mine. What was the one with Rowdy Yates and the big cattle drive thing?
Wagon Train?
No, I did Wagon Train. And I did My Favorite Secretary, and I did five or six with Loretta Young. And I did Streets of San Francisco and Emergency and... I don't remember. Yeah. I did 20 Mule Team Borax, Death Valley days. There's no way I can remember. Oh, turn it off. Yeah. Turn it off for a second.
What a nice book.
A fan sent this to me. And it started in 1945. Rough Riders of Durango, the Fighting Frontiersmen, South of the Chisholm Trail, the Stranger from Ponca City, Blazing Across the Pecos, Doolins of Oklahoma, with Randolph Scott, Three Stooges. Oh, I didn't even say the Three Stooges.
Yeah. Now, what did you do?
I did five of those.
Western spoof, I see.
Oh, yeah, I did five of the Three Stooges. I did a whole bunch of pictures for Columbia, and then working with Autry in Cowtown. I worked in the Jolson Sings Again, Kangaroo Kid. This is one I did in Australia. It was the first one, but I had done. Look at the pictures I had done before.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Australia.
Thank gosh.
That was my first one as a leading man.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did the Roar of the Iron Horse, and I did another serialized, the Gunfighters of the Northwest, which were both serials, 13 episodes. Then I did 12 pictures for Universal International. Starting with The Way All Boats, which was my screen test. He is a good actor. He did that trucking series for a while. Can't think of his name just offhand. So these are my 61 pictures,
mm-hmm,
that I know of, and I know that some of them aren't in here. Then a friend of mine that'll be here this weekend made this book for me.
Yeah, it's nice.
Joe Bowman. And this was just my personal appearance. This is my ex-wife, Maggie. My personal appearance in Houston, Texas. My first personal appearance. And that's all that this book is. Right? With Eddie Arnold. At the Houston Fat Stock Show. There's my partner, Dick. And they make you an honorary Texan. They do all right. And then we played. This was a Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
And then ran across the girl I used to go with. And picked up a painting. This was the damnedest situation. Now, look at the size of this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's orangutan.
Yes.
That's big orangutan. Uh-huh. It's his arm, twice as big as your arm, mm, or my arm. Now, I'm at, that's where it was. Okay, Fort Worth, Texas. I'm out at the zoo. I got about 400 or 500 people around me. Okay? Doing a quick interview. I'm playing Tarzan, pushing the picture. I see a guy on the outskirts of the crowd that's coming through, and he's carrying a big orange orangutan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, orangutans may like you, may hate you. You never know. So I thought, well, when he gets about that far away, why, I'm going to say, hey, wait a minute, let me come to the orangutan. Let me approach him, okay? So I'm doing the interview like I'm doing with you, and the guy got past that point, and the next thing I know, that orangutan shot out and grabbed me by the neck, jumped on me here, just like he is here, and was licking me and kissing me, and, you know, giving me the business.
Without your will,
Oh, man. But that's great, and it looked like Tarzan knew what the hell he was doing with a great big orangutan. Yeah.
You didn't want to make a scene at that point.
No, I didn't want the son of a bitch to tear me up, you know. Excuse the expression. But I've told that story many times, and I just was looking, and it was in Fort Worth, Texas. I thought it was someplace deeper in the south. Scared me. Huh?
I love this picture. Just making a sandwich.
Yeah. There's one elephant I rode. He was 10.5 feet tall, 25 years old. I'll show you another picture of the big fellow I rode. Here's one, but that isn't a good picture of him. There he is, 11 feet tall at the shoulder.
Gosh.
60 years old. He was the Maharaja of Indore's Mysore state elephant. Beautiful, gorgeous thing. Okay, so this is just Tarzan. I haven't even finished this up yet. Oh, my little kid got hot and got scared and started running to the fire. He didn't know what he was doing. And I went up and grabbed him and ran him out. That was so hot, you would not believe. Look at the size of that.
Yes.
And it's here. It's right here. It's in over 20 feet away from, and it was just ringed in, and boy, you talk about hot. Burn your goodies. Oh, this is a, I'm a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you have a plane here at the local airport?
We did a pilot for a picture, for a series. And I was supposed to be the operator of the airport in Ocala, Florida. And that's when I was more slender. And every time the sun would go behind a cloud, I'd jump in the airplane and go flying. And I'd watch the ground, and as he got closer to being in the sun, why I'd just come in and just be with the sun, park the airplane, get out, run over and jump in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Do it good. Anyhow, that's all bullshit. Let's go out in the garage and see if we can't find a picture of some kind.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.